When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning in to Americana Music Profiles. It's Season 3, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine in print and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com online. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's join in on another great conversation with one of the Americana music industry's super talented artists.
So we're doing something a little bit different this time. I'm here at Merlefest. We're actually recording, but we're recording this live at Merlefest, and I'm here with Mike Aiken. And Mike Aiken has a new CD out, Wayward Troubadour, and we've kind of found ourselves a quiet room to get out of the noise today and have a little talk about his latest CD. So it's good to have you with me, Mike. Appreciate it.
Good to be here, Greg.
So first time at Merlefest, right?
It is. First time playing.
Yeah.
You know, we've been here. We were guest artists brought in by the folks here at Merlefest the past couple of years.
Okay.
And this year they brought us in as artists.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
Been good.
Cool. And yesterday, right? Yesterday. After all the rain.
After all the rain. We were watching. We were watching the rain. And it cleared out by 3 in the morning. And we were on at, 12:15 or something. It was good.
We were lucky. So you're a boat captain. So I would imagine that it was nice to be off the water while it was raining and trying to play music.
Yeah, I felt bad for Chris Christopherson.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It was pouring when he was on.
Last night, that was, So give me a little bit of background about yourself, your music. I know this isn't your first CD. You've got quite a few CDs under your belt. You've been doing this for a long time. So
yeah, this one is, this is our seventh CD out. And you know, some quick background that really changed how I go at music. You know, I did like many, many artists out there, you know, you start out playing cover bands and touring and doing that. I was doing that for quite a while. And really there was a sort of an inner battle between the love of the music and the love of the ocean. And at one point, for the type of sailing I wanted to do, I resigned from a band, trained the guy to take my place. And you know, we sort of put together a boat to cross oceans in. And I thought, well, that's going to be the end of my music career. So I was really wondering if I was making the right move.
Yeah.
And the way it turned out, it was the best move for it.
Yeah.
To disappear a little bit.
Okay.
And it gave me a ton of time to write.
Yeah.
So then, and a ton of influence. So we left from Western New York, Lake Erie is where I learned to sail.
Okay.
And we left from there down the Erie Canal to the Hudson River to the Atlantic.
Yeah.
And went to the Canadian Maritimes. Not the route a lot of people go sailing. They go south, most of them.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but the music scene is so good
in
Newfoundland, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. So we went to sort of get immersed in that scene,
which
started going into a bunch of my songs.
Yeah.
You know, and the people I met up there and that whole, just got immersed in that for a year.
Yeah.
And then took off and sailed to the Azores and then to mainland Portugal, based out of Spain for about 3 years.
Wow.
Which sort of, you know, did a lot of touring there and a lot of playing.
Yeah.
So then it brought in more influence.
Yeah.
And then years later, we'd drifted off and ended up being based in Antigua.
Okay.
In the Caribbean for about 3 years.
Wow,
and so
that's
picked
cool.
up a bunch of, the music scene down there is another vibrant scene.
Yeah.
Aside from Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
But if you think Buffett's big here, go to the Caribbean because he's treated those people so well.
Yeah.
I mean, you go and there'll be, you know, museums for Buffett and Bob Marley combined. You know, he's an icon of a different sort than you see here.
Yeah.
So it just picked up the influence. And when we finally came back to the States, I had a lot of music.
Yeah.
Which led to coming back, looking for a place to record, and ended up building a studio in an old 1941 World War II Navy harbor tug that was decommissioned.
Cool.
So the engines were out, tanks were out, and a friend of ours had it.
Yeah,
I was sort of living above, and he said, can you use the space below deck? So everything where we worked was below the water level. You know, you'd stand recording, and ducks are above your head looking in at the ports.
Yeah.
You know,
Wow.
But being underwater sucked out all that ambient noise.
Right.
So
that's cool.
Recorded three of the CDs there, and ended up getting picked up by a label in Nashville.
Okay.
From that,
yeah.
Amy engineered a bunch of other people, recorded a bunch of other people. So it's been an interesting way to get to where I am now.
Sure. Yeah. You know? Well, you mentioned the Jimmy Buffett, and without making comparison, because it's different. You've got the Caribbean flavor, but you bring in the cowboy influence that really takes that in a different direction.
I get a comparison to Buffett, mainly from the lifestyle, of living on a boat all the time and spending time in the Caribbean. What I tend to think I do is I do more of, it's a waterfront, and definitely that lifestyle finds its way into my lyrics strongly.
Yeah.
But I tend to think I do more of an Americana side of that, or it's not all about the party,
right?
But it's about those hardworking folks.
Yeah.
To me, it's been sort of a pet thing of, you can have Levon Helm that does the dirt farmer thing, and I get it. That's where he's from.
Yeah.
And I look at all these families I've met that are trying to just feed their kids by working on boats on the water. The watermen of the Chesapeake Bay.
Speaking of ambient noise in our quiet room.
And, those folk, the history of the hardworking people from the water.
Yeah.
And I really try to bring that to the music.
Yeah.
Aside from just the party thing.
Yeah. That's
cool. And my background, I was around, influenced a lot by a rodeo family.
Yeah.
I was for a while there, years and years ago, I was shoeing horses to make a living.
Yeah.
Became a captain
and
did a lot of commercial work offshore.
And
it's just a mix of those two lifestyles.
And it's given you a lot of stories.
It has. It has.
I hear that about you and your music a lot, is that Mike's a great storyteller. And hearing just a tiny bit of your history, it's obvious where the stories come from.
And it's a different, it's a different viewpoint from the deck of a boat, small boat. You see things a little bit different.
Right, and a lot of people don't get to see it from that.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Yeah, yeah. You've had quite a few songs chart. We were talking earlier before we started recording, not only Americana charts, but the traditional
and
country
traditional
chart.
Country chart.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm thrilled. Country, mainstream country gave me a home that I never expected.
Yeah.
And they were picking up the songs, and it goes back to Buffett, sort of. They were picking up the songs that had a little bit of that Caribbean country flair.
Yeah.
That's what they picked up in my stuff.
Sure,
and
yeah.
That's it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I really didn't expect it, and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, that's cool. Captains and Cowboys was the last CD.
That's correct.
Give me just a little bit about that, so folks, if they want to find, they want to kind of pick up some of the back catalog.
Sure.
I know you had some.
It was Grammy nominated.
Yeah.
It was, the background of that is sort of, I wanted to pay tribute to two main characters in my life. And one was this rodeo cowboy, his name was Ed Phillips, rodeo cowboy, who sort of took me under his wing when I was a young guy and just a hellraiser. And he really taught me a lot of lessons. Just hardworking, the cowboy. And I learned a lot from him and his family. Years later, there was a guy named Captain Lane Briggs, who was more of a tall ship captain, schooner captain. And he was an old salty dog for sure, and he took us under his wing.
Okay.
He was the marina where our boat is now, a little family-run thing that Captain Lane had, four sons that were all captains. I mean, that should have been a TV movie, this marina.
Yeah.
But they were the same type of person. I mean, hardworking, honest as could be, great people, and both of them taught me a lot.
Yeah.
You can never, true mentors are hard to find.
Yeah,
and I wanted to do a record that really, gave them a tip of the hat.
So that's, and Grammy that's nominated. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. How did you know that was coming?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that an agent of mine had put it up.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I started getting all this stuff, and I started hunting to find out. I didn't submit it. Where did this come from?
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Wow.
He said, I threw it out there, and
that's
there it
awesome.
Went.
That's so cool. And you've got a couple of videos from that album?
From that album, yeah. We've probably got, I think, seven videos.
Okay.
Off to Captains and Cowboys.
Okay. All right. Cool. New CD, which is partly why you're here this weekend at Merlefest, is The Wayward Troubadour. Tell me about that a little bit.
It sort of wraps up where I am the happiest is on the move. I mean, we have been living on a sailboat for 27 years, sailed all over the place. Mm-hmm. Between that and being on buses or airplanes, we're always going.
Yeah.
And that just turns out of looking back at a career. And that's what this was. I started, you know, I don't look back much. I'm always looking at where I have to go, what's the next thing, what's the next goal. But looking back, it struck me as it was pretty simple that that's who I am.
Yeah.
So I went to put together the songs that I thought would fit it, try to write with some people that I thought influenced me quite a bit over the years.
Yeah.
And Wayward Troubadour.
And one of them we were talking about earlier, Henry Paul.
Yeah, Henry Paul.
Guys you worked with, from the Outlaws.
From the Outlaws, one of the originators of the Outlaws.
Yeah.
You know, there'd been a voice from Henry. He did the Outlaws, then he was Henry Paul Band, then Blackhawk. I mean, I've listened to that voice for ages in different styles of music. And it just so happened that my agent set up a breakfast meeting.
Yeah.
And we hit it off great.
Wow.
And the next thing, Henry says, come on down to my studio in Atlanta. And,
we
spent a weekend.
Wow.
Writing then fine-tuning and came up with this song called Two Lane Highway.
And there's a couple other songs that have already gotten some attention. We were talking about the one Chesapeake and Sports Illustrated has picked that up.
Sports Illustrated picked that up. And it was another one. That song is a song of mine that Amy helped and co-wrote on. And it's off of an album that went out of being in production. You know, so it was one of my early ones.
Okay.
You know, that wasn't even, it wasn't recorded well. It was the whole thing, but it was there. It was out there.
Yeah.
And I started getting congratulations from people, and I thought they were pulling my legs.
Right.
For what? Well, Sports Illustrated. Yeah. And then somebody, a fan out there, sent me a copy of the magazine where it was one of their top all-time 40 sports songs.
Wow.
So that was a real honor. Yeah,
you know,
that was
cool.
That was real good.
So did they contact you? No communication?
Not at all. not at all.
Yeah.
And so then I reached out to the guy who did that story.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And thanked him.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Did you get correspondence back from him?
A little bit in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. Yeah, I love the song. You know, I think that tells the story of, you know, he was all about it. And so it had been in my back pocket sort of to, if the right record came about again, I wanted to record it well. That's what happened with this.
And this has been out how long?
It's not out yet.
Not out yet.
June 8th.
Okay, June 8th.
Is release date.
So we're recording this April 28th, and so you got...
Another month
yet.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Okay, cool. A couple other songs that were on here that we were talking about earlier that you wanted to... We wanted to mention.
Well, just some of the, I really like the collaboration process of writing. I write a bunch of my own, but I enjoy working with people, the right people. So I did one called Nashville Skyline with one of the Burrito Brothers, with Chris James, which was, and it was a certain style I wanted the song to be in, and sat down with Chris, and we really started talking about, if you do, you know, a lot of my music business runs out of Nashville.
Right.
It's so geographically perfectly situated in the country for that. You
sure.
come and go.
Sure.
So it was really about so much of our lives have been on the road coming and going from that city.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of was the where it came from.
You mentioned the collaboration, and of course we were just talking about Chesapeake, which is an older song for you. What's the process that when this record started until the point that you got it in form here where we can get ready to get it out to folks?
We started, I was after not, let's see, a good way to put it. I was not after the typical Nashville stamp on a country record.
Okay.
Which is pretty easy to get rolled over by,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I initially took it to a producer in a studio I knew in Austin, Texas, and thought that would work. Everything seemed, but as it went, I wasn't getting what I wanted. Now, I'm pretty particular. I wasn't getting it. Came back to Nashville, but didn't do the main studios. Found a studio in Leaper's Fork. and that I could have much more control in. And we went there to record it. Good studio, all vintage gear, which really helped to get the sound I was after. And I started canvassing really friends to put together the band for this. So that took quite a while. But I ended up with, named just some figures, David Rowe. And David Rowe is a stand-up bass, and he's the bass player for Jerry Reed. And then he had his career. This is no youngster, David Rowe. His career was Jerry Reed to Chet Atkins to Johnny Cash.
That's cool.
So, I mean, just so good. So I talked to him, asked him to come in. We were talking about, I had three songs set up for stand-up bass, the rest on electric. And he tracked everything on stage. It was just so good. The vibe was so good. So then we're sitting around, I'm saying, who I really want to get for guitar in this is I want to get Kenny Vaughan. I mean, we're sitting at the desk, listening back, going over stuff. I said, I'd really like to get Kenny Vaughan. And literally, David's phone rings, and he goes, oh, it's Kenny. Because Kenny, I'm in the studio. You got to come over here and talk to Mike. You're going to dig this album. So, a bunch of stuff. Was coming together real well.
So, when you guys are, is Merle Fest the start of the tour? Have you scheduled the tour yet? When are you touring for this record?
It this would be really the start. We've got it here. We were playing songs off it. Merle Fest was a sort of an early start, but this starts it, and then the summer around the road, most of the summer.
Now, will you and Amy go out as a duet, or will you be taking the band out for the tour?
It'll be both ways.
Okay.
It really is a function of the type of venue, and and it comes down to the type of venue, what they can afford. So it'll be going from performing arts houses to house concerts to. Just keeping the whole thing going. So a lot of times there'll be, the band will be out playing the weekend, and I'll ship those guys home. And during the week, we're connecting the dots from city to city. As a duo.
Any chance the guys on the record will play with you on some of the tour dates?
Probably not. They're all so busy.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky to even get them then. I think Kenny, he's Marty Stewart's guitar player. And he came in. And we worked a really long day, and the next day he was on a plane to Ireland with Marty Stewart. So I probably not.
That's
just the way it goes.
And a lot of folks know, and for those who don't, you also write a column for us with Americana Rhythm Magazine. And we're kind of in a part two, part three of a trip that you guys took to Europe not too long ago. Will you be able to tour with this record?
I will.
Back overseas.
We've got dates booked now. For November. We'll be back. Last year we were gone. We were over for a month between November and December. This year we're trying to hold it more into November. So we'll be definitely touring that. I've got a publicist hired for Europe that has started to work it now and get the ball rolling.
So the folks over there will get to see you on tour with this.
They will.
You have some international listeners, so that's cool.
They will.
And you have a festival, Aiken and Friends, has been in Virginia. That one is no longer, but you're still continuing that in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, in Branchburg, New Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah, that's been going for 13 years. This will be the 13th year, and it really focuses on the songwriter. So it's a Roots Americana-type fest, but on original music. That's what I really try to give all sorts of people a chance to do their own. So we do a section of it with local writers that have no outlet. For their stuff, there's contests to get into the fest and do that, and then we bring in people from all over.
So how can folks get a hold of this? Isn't out yet, but you've got the back catalog, of course. What's the best way to
you can go to my website, which is mikeaikenmusic.com. you spell Aiken, A-I-K-E-N. You can go to iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, any of the places have it. So you can find it about anywhere. And this will be, I'm trying to remember the date, there's going to be pre-purchase through Amazon going on pretty quickly here.
So the CD again is Wayward Troubadour. Thanks, Mike. This has been fun.
Thank you.
It was good seeing you at on stage.
What better place to do an interview than
Melfest, huh? Oh, that's great. It's awesome. Cool.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.